You're listening to episode 12 of the Mindful Productivity Podcast. And today, my amazing friend and health coach, Kate Burns, is joining us, and we're talking all about how embracing your creative side can up-level your life. Welcome to the Mindful Productivity Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Steckler, and this is the place to be to live a more mindful and productive life. If you're ready to turn daily chaos into calm and start your days with intention, then get ready to join me as we dive deep into mindful living and personal productivity. It's time to connect with your true self so you can live the life you want to live. And it all starts now. Before we jump into today's episode, I want to really let you know a little bit about Kate's background because it really speaks volumes to the topics we're going to be talking about today. So Kate Burns is a holistic health coach and artist, and she actually resides in the Jersey Shore. And she earned her Bachelor of Fine Arts from the Maryland Institute College of Art in Baltimore in 2010, and also served with the Community Arts Collaborative AmeriCorps program from 2010 until 2013. Then in 2014, she earned her Certificate in Holistic Health Coaching from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition and received her Level 2 Reiki certification. Not only that, but Kate has worked with several communities in Baltimore to create neighborhood events, parades, and youth programs, and has served as the Assistant Director for the Feminist Art Project of the Baltimore chapter. That alone in itself is incredible. But Kate also helps creatives struggling with fatigue, anxiety, and stress through a mixture of nutrition education, emotional wellness, and radical self-care. And as an artist herself, she really understands the unique challenges that creatives face and knows that in order to do the important work that needs to be done in the world, we have to feel our best first. Which I love. Kate is also the creator of the amazing Food for Thought Food and Mood Journal, which I own and use regularly, and it's now available on Amazon. So make sure to go check that out. Kate, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today.
Yes. Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here.
This is going to be a lot of fun. And so basically we're here to talk about a lot of things. Kate's an amazing person. We've been collaborating for, I feel like, almost 2 years now. I don't even know.
Yeah, I think it has been 2 years actually, which is crazy.
Yeah. And we met in a Facebook group for entrepreneurs. I can't even remember which one. And I've just always been blown away by how authentic Kate is. And she just like owns her creativity. And so I wanted to invite her on the podcast today to kind of talk about that and just talk about creativity and how you can use it for all different kinds of health and management stuff in general. But Kate, why don't you go ahead and kind of like, I guess, let people know like a little bit about you, a little bit about what you're passionate about.
Yeah. So I'm a holistic health and wellness coach, and I work mostly with creatives, and that's partially because my background is in art itself. I went to the Maryland Institute College of Art. So there was actually a short period of time, Sarah, where you and I were really not far apart from each other, even though we've never met in real life, which is terrible to me. We just like never crossed paths, like in the real world, but yes, I went to MICA and I got really interested in community-based art while I was there. And I'd always been really interested in the idea of like community service and like being of service in the world. And I'd always had this passion for art from the time I was younger. You know, if you asked my family what I was going to be, you know, if they asked me what I was going to be when I grew up, I always was like, yeah, an artist. I'm going to be an artist. That's what it is. But I didn't really have a sense of like what I was going to do with that. Right. And I remember feeling really lost, like the first, I would say like year and a half of college, because, you know, I was taking all these like intro classes, like painting and drawing and ceramics and all these different things, which I loved. And I love the like actual like act of creating, like the actual like journey of creating something. But I was feeling a little bit like, well, what do I do with this? Right. Like what's the point, if you will, you know? And, cause I'd always sort of been interested in like, how can I help people with what I'm doing? And I felt like there was a disconnect there, and I was just sort of struggling because I didn't really want to be just like an artist that shows in a gallery or that kind of thing, right? So I came across community arts, and like lucky for me, MICA is sort of like the forerunner in community-based art, and they have an amazing bunch of classes there. They actually now have a master's program there for community arts, which is like really amazing.
And wow,
it's
yeah.
Like one of the few like across the world actually. And it's really like just all about like harnessing art making as a tool to build relationships and impact communities, because I think that creative work of any kind has like a huge capability to do those things, right? So anyway, long story short, I'm giving the whole backstory, right?
No, I love it.
So got really interested in community-based art, and I was serving with AmeriCorps for a couple of years after my undergraduate degree was finished. And it was a great program, actually still run out of MICA, that was we were placed at all different like arts nonprofits around Baltimore City, and it was really cool because it let me kind of use what I had learned like firsthand, like, and really get the experience. So I was using art and as like a healing tool with groups of kids in a sort of underprivileged neighborhood, and it was really, really awesome to see the way that you can use creativity as sort of a starting point for conversation, right? And it was so eye-opening for me in so many different ways. And during that time, though, I was feeling really super burnt out. And it was really interesting because I was watching my colleagues who were also in AmeriCorps, like serving at other nonprofits. And, you know, we all would start the service year feeling like amazing and really motivated and excited about what we were doing. And our meetings together would be like, yeah, I want to do this project and that project. And like by the end of the year, all of our conversations were around, I'm feeling really burnt out. I feel really exhausted. I don't know if I can keep doing this, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of the actual work itself. It was sort of like there wasn't really a culture of self-care. There was like no sort of resources for, you know, balancing the workload. You know, there was sort of this idea of like, if you're going to be of service, that you have to give so much of yourself, right? And I remember just hitting a moment myself where I had like a total breakdown. Like I had a panic attack that lasted for like over 24 hours. I had hit like a major depressive episode. I could barely go on, you know? And it was like, something's got to give here, right? Like we can't keep giving and giving and giving of ourselves until there's nothing left, because then we all hit this point where we can no longer be of service, right? Like we can't help anyone else if we are feeling like shit, right?
Right. Where's the sustainable activism? Where's the sustainable, right? Creativity, all of that.
Exactly. And I think that's the biggest thing. Cause what I've noticed in my work in community is like so much of like where growth happens is in that sustainability piece. So if you have staff members who have to quit after 2 years because they're just burnt out, like what change can we actually make? Right. So it really was eye-opening for me having that, like my own breakdown and watching everyone else sort of have like a breakdown at the same time.
Right.
So we're like, oh, okay, something's going on here. Right. And that was the point where I really was like, all right, I have to make some changes for myself here. And I got really into like practicing self-care on a regular basis and like also taking a look at my diet and just being open to experimenting with like what felt good for me and what didn't, and like getting really in touch with like what my body was telling me throughout that process. So yeah.
That's a story. Like that is, I know it's transformative. And I think so many people can relate to it. Like there's so many pieces in there that you were sharing where I'm like, yeah, like, and even in just like, I think too, like no matter what kind of work you're doing, I think that we're just kind of in this phase now where like, there's so many things, there's so many pieces of technology that help us do more. But in that we kind of step into this mindset where it's like hustle, 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 go, go, go. You know, we praise each other for like going nonstop. And then it's like, we're all going to hit a burnout if we continue that. And so to really like openly share your story about that, like it's inspiring because I think we've all been there, or maybe we're headed there and we don't realize it yet, but it's just like being aware of that. And you said something that I really wanted to touch on too. It was like using creativity as like a form of healing. Could you talk more about that? Cause I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that like for me, what I've noticed, and I think that for like on an individual level, like the act of creating anything is very therapeutic, because in a way, and you know, if you've ever created anything in your life, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be creating a business. It could be creating, you know, writing or music or like literally anything. Just the act of getting something out of your head and out into the world is really, it's a transformative practice. And I think it's not something we talk about enough, like just sort of the energy that it takes, but also like how healing that can be in that process alone, right? So just creating something and seeing it outside of your body, it's a weird form of like examining your own psyche. I'm about to get like,
I'm geeking out right now. I'm like, yes, let's talk about
it. It feels like, this sounds like kind of hokey, but it's like seeing a part of yourself outside of your body, right? And then you know, especially if you put it on display in any way, you're like basically showing people a part of yourself.
Yeah, that, it's so vulnerable. And I was going to say, right? Too, it's like kind of like taking the intangible and making it into a tangible thing that you can see, sometimes feel. And it's like, it's really abstract. And like, I think a little bit off-putting the first time you put something that, you know, that's within you, and you don't even know like what you're going to really create. Like, you know, you don't really know what it's going to look like. And then when you see it, or, you know, you speak it or whatever it is, it's like, what? Like who, like, yeah. What is this part of myself? And I think like the more you do it, I think, you know, the stronger, more confident you become in that feeling. But I think it's like, it's a really raw moment when we really step fully into our creativity. And like, even though it's really empowering and fun and it can reduce our stress and all this stuff, it's also like, oh my gosh, I'm showing the world this part of myself and I'm not even familiar with it yet.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, I totally agree with you. I think the more you do it, it's like kind of flexing a muscle that you get more and more comfortable with it. But then at the end of the day, what I've noticed for myself, you know, so many years later, is that like, there's always a level of uncomfortableness with it, right? There's always a level of fear. And there's always a level of, well, you know, what if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to turn out? What if people don't like it? What if there's always this like underlying just sense of just nervousness around it. And I think that that's just, again, like another form of like questioning myself, like, first of all, why do I care? But also like, why is this coming up for me? Right? Like what, you know, what am I actually afraid of here? And it's sort of like a form of like self-therapy in a way sometimes, where like it forces you to question a lot about yourself that you wouldn't normally get to do. Right.
Yeah, I totally feel that. And it's also kind of like, it's stepping into your authentic self and really bringing that forward. And in a lot of ways, I feel like we're limited in how we feel we can do that, just by like, you know, you go through the motions of, you know, being a human and being in society and like maybe having a 9-to-5 or going to college or doing whatever it is. And it's like, how do I bring that creative side of me forward? And like, that's another thing too I wanted to talk about, is like just kind of living in that creative space, like on a day-to-day basis. Like, how does it look like, you know, and I'd love to hear this from you too, like just living day to day, like bringing your creative side forward and really embodying that. Cause like when I look at you, when I talk to you, I'm like, Kate is like a living, walking example of like what it is to like to art every day. Like, and I just think it's really inspiring.
I love that. To do art. Like, it's real serious for me.
Right.
art making. Yeah. It's so interesting. Cause for me, like, I've thought about this a lot, because there's a part of me that's like, I've taken, you know, I went to art school, but like, I'm not necessarily creating art and putting it in a gallery per se in that traditional sense. So it sort of feels like, you know, when people look at my resume, it's a little like, well, how did you get to where you are with that? You know, but for like, what I've noticed over and over is that like the art of the practice of creativity or making art in any way is just, it's creative problem solving, right? It's like learning how to problem solve whatever is going on. And part of that too, part of problem solving generally is like learning how to tap into your own intuition. And so much of like creating work of any kind is like, you are listening to yourself, right? Like, you're not listening to the other people around you. It's you're tapping into your own, your gut response, your intuition to see like, what's the solution here? What's a possibility? What can I create here? Right. And I think that that's partially why, you know, it can be so uncomfortable in that space sometimes, because it's hard to listen to your intuition, because, you know, we've been taught to question that inner knowing so extensively instead of trusting it from the get-go. And so for me, that's always, I feel like creativity is just listening to your intuition.
Like, oh my gosh, I love that. That's like such a huge, amazing quote. I want to put that like everywhere. Like,
yes.
I think too, it's like, it's also sometimes the first part of ourselves that we fully listen to. And like, cause I think there's comfort in being told what to do and doing it, even though like, I don't think, you know, we all want to rebel and we don't like people telling us what to do all the time, but there is comfort in that, I think. And so when we step into a creative space and we're like, oh my gosh, like it's just me, like it's just me and I can do whatever I want. It's kind of overwhelming, but also really freeing and liberating. And another thing too, is like, I feel like I'd love to hear your thoughts on this too, is like, creativity is so multifaceted. Like it's like you said, it's not just gallery art. It's not just painting. It's not always performative. Like sometimes it's literally just being who you are. Like I think we can all think of like that one person in high school that just like wore what she wanted to wear and like, you know, did her makeup. And like, I remember there was like someone in middle school that like in the 90s or whatever that wore like a dress over jeans. And I was like, whoa, like right, that's so badass. Like, it's so like, wow, look at her. She's like a trailblazer. Like, and then everyone started doing it. And like, but there's something to be said about like living your creative life, like living, you know, in a way where you're like, you know, nobody's done this before, but I'm doing it now. Like, I just think that's awesome. Like, I've always really been inspired by people that do stuff like that, even the little things.
Right. Well, it's so important. And I think you really touched on that too, that it's like, you know, it's comforting to do things that we know are like people pleasing, right? Even if there's a rebellious streak in us, or even if we like on the outside, there's a part of us that wants to like rebel and be ourselves and whatever. There's a total comfort for so many of us in sticking, kind of staying inside the lines and like doing the things that we know are safe or that, you know, will make our parents happy or like whatever it is, you know, and it's, we're not always super conscious of that. So I think that's a big piece of it too, of like why the fear will often come up around creativity or art making of any kind.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, one thing I hear from a lot of people is, oh, well, that's really cool, but like, I'm not creative, or there's something I'm really passionate about. And I totally relate to that, because I think there's different phases in our life where we don't feel any one way. But it's like, it's amazing too, just kind of like thinking about that limiting belief or that block, and how, I mean, I personally believe that like everyone's creative, just not in like in a one funneled kind of way. Like, it's so diverse, and it's, I think there's something to be said about like finding that for yourself, like whatever that may look like. And then like, you don't have to be like the most creative person ever either, but like really embracing that for yourself and kind of stepping into that.
Right. Well, I think it's totally like recognizing where your creativity lies, and like whatever you feel drawn to. I feel like, you know, doesn't matter if like, if you're drawn to finance, like there's creativity in finance, you know what I mean? Like, I think people don't realize that like, just because it isn't like, you know, quote art of some kind, that it isn't creativity. But again, creativity is just problem solving. It's just tapping in your intuition. So, you know, like even for me for a long time, like I wasn't making any like, ooh, I am so sorry. I did not know that those alerts were on. there was a part of me for a long time that didn't even, you know, make physical work in that way. Like I'd stopped making like, you know, physical artwork in the way that I was during college. And my work was really focused on like building community, right? So for me, that was my creative practice at the time, was like finding different ways to connect people who wouldn't otherwise interact, because I think that that's where a lot of healing can happen as well. So you know, it's so like what you make of it. And like, I completely agree. I hate when people are like, well, I'm not an artist. And you're like, no, that's bullshit. Everyone is an artist. Like, you know, like.
Totally. And you know, there was, I think I'd shared this article with you. It was a study that was done about just how tapping into our creative side and doing creative stuff, getting, you know, finding an outlet is such a great way to not only like reduce and manage stress, but also really tap into different areas of our brain. And really like, I feel like too, like when I do more like right brain, like kind of like art stuff, I feel like it almost gives space to my left brain to like do whatever it needs to do. And then like when I come back to like, you know, the logistical stuff I need to do, it's like, it's kind of like this renewed, like, oh, okay. Like I took a break. And so, I'm curious, like just what are some like creative things that you do that maybe other people wouldn't necessarily like, you know, identify as creative, that you do kind of that helps you manage stress?
Ooh, I love this. Okay. Well, for me personally, like some of the things that I've been getting into really lately is, like thinking a lot about magic and a lot about, like witchcraft and like sort of the history of these things, but also like the very healing aspects of them. So I've always been really interested in like herbalism and, you know, like speaking things into existence and the law of attraction and all of these things. And yeah. There's something about that that feels creative to me as well. Just in even thinking about like, I've been looking at the ways that like, you know, even different, what's the word I'm looking for? Like herbal remedies and things were made. And it just is fascinating to me, because I'm like, somebody had to come up with this at one point. You know what I mean? Like somebody had to think to like take some stinging nettles and like create a tincture out of them and use them in a specific way. Like there's something so creative about that whole process to me that I just find so interesting. And also just like figuring out of those things, like what's going to work best for me. So even like Sarah, I know you're into crystals too, like, you know, like looking at like which ones make me feel different ways and, you know, arranging them in different like aesthetically pleasing arrangements that like feel good to me. Like even if like it's totally just like a weird placebo thing, it's like, well, this looks nice and I like the way it makes me feel. So,
right. I mean, you could argue the same thing with like interior design, right? Like exactly. How our space feels. Yeah, no, totally.
And that's like totally creative, like rearranging your space and that kind of thing. I also find that like, I've been sort of kind of getting into like movement more as a creative practice as well.
Oh, tell me about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely like partially rooted in my like I have some burlesque background that you know about, where you know I was doing a lot of like burlesque performance, and it's kind of taken a backseat currently. But I have done that for many years, and I totally love it because it's just like so much fun creating the costumes and the choreography, and you know deciding what the act is going to be about. Because especially in burlesque, it's so like it can be really like out there and kind of crazy and like art for art's sake kind of thing. But also just thinking about like the way that movement can be so creative, and thinking about like intuitive movement and how, you know, I'm trying to move away from getting into these like very strict sort of like habits around movement, right? Like I always used to feel like I have to go running this many times a week, and I have to go to yoga this many days a week. And there are some days where like, I just kind of want to like roll around on the floor.
I love that. I think that's like part of creativity too, is like taking the structure out of things. Like I know for me, like it depends on what I'm doing, but like sometimes it helps for me to have like a box or a structure, a container, if you will, to know like how to move within that. And that can like kind of help me focus on a creative project. But then other times, like when I create meditations or stuff like that, for example, I don't prep anything. I just literally hit record and I close my eyes and I'm like, what is coming to me? And who knows where the crap that's coming from? Like, I don't know. Like sometimes I'll make a meditation or a visualization exercise or something like that, and I'm like, wow, that was cool. Like, where did I get that? And so it's really just like kind of, I like that. Like just how much structure do I want to have, or doing away with it entirely for some things sometimes. I think that can really change things and be really transformative just even within itself.
Right. And I think it's also like knowing that like everything in life is cyclical, you know what I mean? So like there are definitely periods of my life where I'm like, oh, I need this structure right now, you know, yes. Like I need it. It's like, that's going to help me. But then like other times it's like, I need to let that aspect of it go. And more often than not for me, I need to let it go. I can be a little too structured sometimes. So like, it's just like moving away from that and just seeing like, what do I feel like today? And that's like, seriously, I feel like that's such a practice in creativity just there, because so much of creating art is, what do I want to make? What do I feel like I need to make right now? And that's often like when you hear people talk about their work, it's like, I needed to make this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like I wanted to do this. It's like, I needed to make this. And like, my brain wouldn't let me rest until it was done, you know?
Yeah. I think, and I talked about this, I can't remember, I think it was like episode 2 of the podcast. It's kind of like the difference between outcomes versus process. And I feel like with creativity, it's like, sometimes we get so stuck on like the end result or how we want something to be that we actually limit ourselves or limit what the actual like thing is going to become. And so there's something really amazing about just trusting in the process. And like, if it feels good creating it and it feels good doing it this way, like just keep going instead of worrying about when's the deadline or what is the outcome supposed to be. And I just love that. And I kind of like that too, in terms of like movement. It's also right. Like instead of focusing on like, well, I have to like, I want, you know, this kind of body, or I want to be this in shape, or I want this or that. It's more like, I just love doing yoga, or I just love whatever, and really focusing on that instead.
Right. Totally.
I really like that. So what is like one of the biggest challenges that you think that you faced, or that you think other people face, when it comes to like really giving themselves permission or space or time to kind of step into creativity?
I think a big piece of it, honestly, is like trusting yourself and not caring what other people think about it. I think that there's still a huge sort of like, I wouldn't even call it a stigma, but just sort of this perception that like, you could be using that time for better things, quote, better things, right? Like, it's like more important things. And, you know, I think that it's so interesting, like having that conversation, because I feel like you could swap out the word creativity for self-care, right? And it's like,
oh, yeah,
conversation that we have over and over is like, well, I could be using this time for better things. And you're like, no, this is the better thing. Like, you should be doing this. This is important. And I think that especially if you're like interested in creativity more as a potential career, there's still like this idea of like, well, this is not a smart move because, you know, you won't be able to get a job. This is not employable. This isn't like a marketable skill, right? Which is really, I mean, it feels so silly to me now because it's like that, that's actually like what people want right now, are creative people, because
yes,
we got some problems in the world and creatives know how to solve those problems.
Also,
you know?
Too, this is such an aside, but like, so I have this like really weird, deeply rooted fear of like robots and them taking over everything. But when I think about it, I'm like, what are we going to need in the future? Like, we're going to need creatives because robots aren't going to be able to like have this new, I mean, I hope not, like have this nuanced thinking, right? Like, and it's so funny because like, I'm like serious and joking at the same time, but I'm always like every, like there's this new thing I heard on the radio the other day. It was like, it's like a Fitbit for your tooth or something. Like they like install it like on your tooth and it tracks everything. And I'm like, it's starting.
like this is how the matrix starts. Right?
Like, so I'm always like, but like seriously, like, you know, you think of like, you know, things that are more automated now, like, you know, even just like self-checkouts or this and that. And it's like, I feel like we're stepping into this time where, I mean, even if you just look at millennials and how like so many, there's so much a bigger demand for like handcrafted goods or like, you know, artisanal stuff or like any of that. Like, and I really feel like we're opening up this space where creatives are so needed. And I love how you said that like, they're so good at like problem solving. Like, I think that's really true. And like, I never really quite thought about creativity as like a way to problem solve. Like, I love that.
Right. Well, I mean, I feel like when we had projects in art school, like it was always like you had to get to a certain outcome. You know, maybe it wasn't a very specific outcome, but it was like even let's say like a painting project, right? Like you have to create a painting. It has to be at least this size. It has to exemplify A, B, and C. But how you get there was totally up to you. And if everyone would end up with a completely different project. And it was really, again, like tapping into your own intuition and saying like, well, how do I get from A to B to in order to get hit all these like marks that I need to hit, right?
Yeah.
And when you think about it in that way, and we just literally did that over and over and over for 4 years and, you know, in all different mediums and all different ways with different time constraints. And, you know, it forces you to get kind of good at, you know, thinking outside of the typical ways, especially because you realize really quick, like you don't want to have a project like everyone else's. So
Right. You're
like, okay, like this is the most obvious route, but what's an alternative to still get me there? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I think too of like, I know you and I both share this like big passion to like buy a camper and just like nomad around. And like, yes. I'm always still like every other week, you know, I'm like talking to you and I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to buy one. Well, not yet. Okay. But maybe now. And like, I think too, it's like, finding like there's this creativity now more and more in just like the lifestyle you're living and like how you're able to choose to live your life. And it's really fun to see the different ways that people are, you know, breaking out with like, you know, starting their own business or having these side projects or just like being really passionate. Like it's amazing to see just like the youth in our country right now, just stepping forward and being like, no, we're going to create a platform about these things. We're going to talk about them. And it's really an amazing thing. And it's also this huge level of creativity for people to be able to take something and find this angle of it and find a way to bring it to people and make people understand and support people at the same time. Like, I don't know if anything could be more creative than that.
Right. That's exactly how I feel. And especially when you look at art history and you examine the role of the artist in the past, it's always been this sort of like empowering sort of a place, right? And you're always, there's a message in artwork, even if it's just art for art's sake, there's a message there too of just like creating for the sake of creating. But like, I find it so interesting, especially in this like very highly charged political climate that we're in right now, where, you know, you'll hear people say like, oh, like, you're an artist or, you know, you're an entertainer or whatever, like you shouldn't be weighing in on politics. Right. And I'm like, that's the role of the artist has always been highly political. Like if you ever, if you study art history for a day, it's like, it was always rooted in politics. It doesn't seem like it now, but like every like mythical statue that was created or anything was usually a jab at someone else at the time, you know? So it was sort of, you wouldn't know it. Even the history of burlesque, the word like burlesque, like as a verb means to make fun of. Like it was used as a way to.
I had no idea. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So it was like, wow. you know, it was always very rooted in like examining the world around us and like kind of pointing out the shit that we need to pay closer attention to and examine, like, why is this way? And should it continue to be this way? I think that it's so fascinating to me, like using art in that way, but also like you totally hit the nail on the head when you said like the act of like sort of portraying that message in any way, even just through words, is like so highly creative.
Yeah. And we've looked at like kind of like the big picture part of creativity. I'd love to kind of like go the other direction for a minute and like talk about like just like micro daily ways to like be creative. And I know for me, like one thing that's been really helpful, even like with my productivity and like how organized I am, is actually bringing creativity into my daily processes. So like I have like a journal that I have like my week at a glance, and I have all my daily like to-do tasks and stuff. But like one thing that's actually helped me really stay with that is making it fun. And so like I bring in colors and I put like Lisa Frank stickers on pages, and like then I want to look at my to-do list where usually I'm like, nope. Like, so I really love like finding different ways to bring like just creative organization into our lives. And one thing that you have created that's been really helpful for me is like your food and mood journal. And I'd love for you to talk about that too, but it's like, that's been a really fun way for me to like track like my food, my mood, what I'm eating, how I'm feeling about it, but in a really like fun, creative way. And like, I love that journals are taking off for that very reason.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, I feel like that was like one of the things that initially drew me to your work, Sarah, was like your beautiful journals, and like just like you had really been exploring sort of the healing power of journaling. And it like came to me at a perfect time where like I was starting to pick up journaling again after like just like, you know, not wanting to touch it for the longest time. And it's so, so powerful in that way. And I totally agree. I love like, you know, just like loading it up with stickers. And I do that all over my planner. Like I'm looking at it now. There's like a bunch of different crazy stickers and colors and crystal balls and washi tape and like craziness all over it. But it is like, it totally helps me to like take a couple minutes at the end of the week and like plan for the week ahead, but also like make it a little bit exciting in that moment.
I love that. And yeah. And I think too, it's like, what are just like different ways? Like, I love how, you know, you talked about like, you know, setting up crystal grids or like stuff like that, but like just even creating a space in our homes or at work that feels more like us or that has that creative element, I feel like can really boost our mood, can boost how productive or focused we can be. Like, I know for me, like if my desk feels good and I have like a candle, or I have like, it can be like a little elephant figurine I found at Ross or like something, whatever it is. Like that kind of stuff really helps me just feel like, oh, there's a part of me that's like in this space and it makes me feel good. And then, I mean, it's so simple, but like for whatever reason, that really helps me get my work done.
Oh yeah, totally. I'm completely with you. And I feel like all the things that make you feel good are just going to help you to like tap into that intuition that is your creativity, right? Like, for me, like the way that I really foster my own creativity is creating a space of calm for myself. Mm-hmm. Cause I can be a little like not hyperactive, but a little tense, a little anxious generally. That's just sort of my like typical existence every day. So like for me, it's about being really intentional with the space that I create physically, but also like mentally for myself. So even like when I start off my day, I try to make it a point to like have a little cup of tea and just breathe for a minute while I'm drinking that tea, even if it's just like 2 minutes. There's something really, really helpful for me in just like starting off my day that way. And I think it helps me to tap into my own creativity when I do have to solve a problem, you know, if it's at work or in my business or whatever. Like, I feel like it lets me get to that space so much easier than I would have otherwise if I started off feeling really frantic and kind of crazy, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And I love to just kind of like setting the mood, setting the tone for creativity. And I think that's like where self-care plays a huge part too. Cause like if you are in, like if your job does require you to be creative or use that part of your brain all day, like you said before, it's like we can get to phases of burnout and everything like that. And so when you're just really finding ways to like help yourself, because I know for me, like if I try to do like forced creative projects, it just like doesn't happen. And then I get resentful, and then it like, it shows, you know, I think people can tell. So it's like, just, I love that you have kind of a little process for, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make some tea and that's what I'm going to do. And I think for me too, that's also like really connecting with nature, like getting outside, like going without my phone. Like I'm always saying that because like it's with me all the time. Like I want to like make a place where it stays most of the day. But like, just really connecting with nature, really finding time to even just like meditate or just sit in stillness with my dog and just like chill for a minute. Like that, it's amazing how it doesn't even take like hours and hours of something like that. It can even just take 5 minutes and you can kind of like be like, okay, I'm feeling grounded. I'm feeling good.
Totally. Yeah. And I think like we need to get to that grounded space because so much of what creativity is just trusting yourself and like knowing that like whatever answer pops into your brain, that's probably the answer, you know, but it's like allowing yourself to get to that place of trust. And when you're in that grounded state, like when you're out of that fight or flight response and you're into that grounded place that it's, you know, usually accessible via meditation or yoga or whatever, or, you know, a walk outside, it just like lets you use that inner knowing that, you know, helps you to solve problems.
I love that so much. Like we've covered so much on today's podcast, I feel like just in terms of like what it is, what creativity looks like, how to set the space for it. And I just want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. And I also want to like ask you like, where can people find you? Where can they get some of your information and all that?
Yeah. So you can find me at kateburns.com. I spell it CAITBYRNES.com, the Irish way, the right way. I actually do have a little preview of my food and mood journal that Sarah mentioned. It's called Food for Thought. So if you want to check that out, I have a downloadable version that you can just print out week by week and use it, you know, as many times as you want. And that's at kateburns.com/foodforthoughtfreebie.
Perfect. Yeah. And we'll link all of that on the show notes as well. Thanks for listening, you guys. It's so fun. And Kate, thank you again for being here. This was such a fun episode to do. And as always, you guys, you can always find all of the show notes and all of the information at mindfulproductivityblog.com/podcast. And we will see you next week.